From Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas, this is Dugout Dirt, a Texas Rangers podcast. It's a baseball podcast about everything that happens outside the chalk lines.
There's so many things about baseball I like. I don't have enough time to tell you all the things I like.
You know, the best compliments I ever get are when I receive a message or a letter from a blind person who says, I feel like I can see the game.
You know, my number one responsibility, the way I look at it, is hire the best people, provide them with all the resources that they need to do their jobs, and let them do their job.
Flood of emotions, relief, excitement, elation. I knew that I carried a trailer of people with me that 90 feet.
Welcome to the fifth installment of Dugout Dirt. I am your host, Jared Couch. I am the Director of Creative Media at the Texas Rangers. And on this episode, we're going to talk about breaking into the baseball world. It would probably take 15 episodes to talk to all the interesting people inside the Texas Rangers organization. So we selected a few people to talk about their career paths and give advice to people wanting to break into the game of baseball. The idea for this episode came from the weekly requests I receive from college students and working professionals looking for their big break in baseball. Almost on a weekly basis, I'll receive resumes or emails requesting an informational interview. That's probably the most important tip we'll give you in this episode is to ask. You won't ever make that first step until you get in front of the right people and ask for something. Advice, internship, a job, references, or anything, first you must ask for it. The ironic thing is that I was once on the other end of that phone. Almost 2 years to the day, I was working at ESPN's Longhorn Network and was interested in joining the Texas Rangers. The head of the network at the time put me in contact with the Executive Vice President of Business Partnerships and Development, Joe Januszewski.
You know, what's funny is that I actually had a conversation with you on the phone prior to even learning about this job, about when I got hired on.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
We chatted on the phone, and then a few weeks later, I stumbled across this posting and applied and never really even called Joe until after I had gotten the job.
You already had the job.
Yeah.
And I heard your name and went, I'm talking to that guy on the phone. It's great. We hired him. That's great. I didn't even know. But I know that speaks to, you know, giving people opportunity to be heard, to share, you know, what they're about, you know, giving people FaceTime. I think it's very important. It's part of giving back. Because, you know what, I remember being on the other side of the desk and somebody, you know, had to take my call. Somebody had to give me 15 minutes of their valuable time. You know, people in sports don't get paid, unless maybe they're in HR, to do informational interviews. But I look at it as a very important way, not just of giving back. I learn from people. It selfishly increases my network. You never know where someone's going to end up or who they're going to be able to connect to. But more importantly, giving people an opportunity to be heard. It is a tough business to break into. But I believe if you have the drive and the will and the passion for it, the work ethic, you can do it.
While we're at it, and before we get to some of the more interesting stories, I'll share a little bit about my story. In school, they say have your elevator speech, so here's mine. Grew up in Wilmer, Texas, a small country town just south of Dallas. In high school, I had this English teacher named Miss Adalpe, and she constantly told me to stop writing about sports and stop talking so much in her class, and I knew then I was going to work in sports. I went to UT Austin and pursued a degree in radio, television, and film. After undergrad, I landed at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, the mothership as many people call it. It was a temporary role, and eventually I landed a full-time role in the marketing department, and that jump-started my career, and I started writing and producing commercials. But I really needed a way to differentiate myself because there are a ton of production assistants and associate producers at ESPN, so I decided to pursue an MBA. I was on my way to SMU for their full-time program when ESPN decided they were going to create the Longhorn Network. So the opportunity to help launch a network at my alma mater was just too enticing. So moved back to Austin to work for LHN, and I was accepted into the Texas MBA evening program. After a couple years at Longhorn Network, I joined the Rangers. It's been an amazing first 2 years. We've won a regional Emmy and we've been nominated for multiple national awards. And I'm actually just finishing up my MBA at Texas. If I could give one piece of advice, it would be to find a way to differentiate yourself. I don't care what you're doing, find a way to differentiate yourself from the crowd. I can't wait to see what the future holds at the Rangers because we've just scratched the surface as far as marketing and making commercials and social and with this podcast and a lot of things that we have planned to do in the future. So it's a really exciting thing. With everything, it started with a dream. With me, it was to work in sports media, to talk about sports, to just be in the industry. For the president of baseball operations and general manager John Daniels, it began with a love for the game of baseball.
You know, I love the game. I love baseball. I didn't know when I was a kid, you know, this is what I wanted to do, just because it wasn't a, you know, there weren't a lot of examples of young guys that had not played the game that were in kind of leadership roles, at least that I was aware of. So I didn't know necessarily this is what I wanted to do. But as I got through school and then right after school, it kind of became apparent this is something that I would, you know, have a chance to pursue and a way for me to stay connected to the game, you know, despite not playing.
What do you think separates you from the thousands, maybe millions of people that want to be in your shoes?
I think the biggest thing, you know, I've been really fortunate to be around some tremendous people, both people that I learned from and then, you know, the team that we've been able to put together here on and off the field. But, you know, our scouts, our coaches, big league staff, front office, the medical group, the business side, you know, I've been fortunate to kind of help him put this group together. And there's a lot of special people and, you know, makes coming to work fun every day.
The movie Moneyball has painted this picture of a wheeling, dealing general manager that's working four lines at one time and hanging up on fellow GMs. And that's not really the whole truth. It's really Hollywood simplifying a very complex job.
You know, Moneyball doesn't really do it justice. The movie doesn't really do it justice. I think the idea of having, you know, three or four phone lines and hanging up on one guy, I mean, that's not realistic. But you know, the reality is there's a ton of conversations going on. It's changed a little bit with text and email and you know, just how accessible we all are with our phones. But, I mean, there's a ton of dialogue, GM to GM, and there's also dialogue like scout to scout. And then as the deal gets closer, you know, it picks up. But there's no, you know, I've never, you know, hung up on one guy, called the other, and, you know, that sort of deal that happened in the movie, that's not realistic.
A Texas Rangers veteran and recently minted Hall of Famer Eric Nadell joined the Rangers in 1979. Nadell's career has spanned five different decades, and he knew early on in life that he wanted to be a radio broadcaster. When he enrolled at Brown University, he received a piece of timeless advice.
Well, I actually went to Brown with the intention of being a sportscaster. And I got some really good advice from Bill Mazur, a legendary sportscaster in New York, the guy who pretty much invented sports talk radio. He told me not to worry about going to a school that had a big broadcasting curriculum or even a communications department. He told me to go to a school that had a great college radio station where I would get good training from the people who are already on the air and I would get a chance to be on the air as much as possible. It's probably the best advice that I've ever gotten, other than stay away from the brown acid at Woodstock. That was really good advice too.
The great thing about college media is that there's a ton of autonomy. The ability to explore, tinker, and learn on a small stage is a priceless experience.
I was a political science major. I toyed with the idea of going to law school. That certainly was my parents' intent. But I was much more in love with radio. I had much more passion for sports and for radio and for doing play-by-play.
And it doesn't hurt that most college student media departments can score the occasional press pass to big-time sporting events.
As far as love of baseball is concerned, we got a press pass at WBRU, which allowed us to go to Fenway Park. I could go there with anybody I wanted and just kind of roam around. The Red Sox weren't exactly selling out every game back in the late 60s and early 70s. So I went up there a lot, was able to indulge my love of baseball up there.
But before you start your trek to being the next Eric Nadell, you must know it comes with a ton of work and a very unique lifestyle.
Well, I guess one of the biggest things that's been a challenge in baseball is the amount of time when nothing's happening during the course of a game. You know, the ball's in play for, I believe, about 17 minutes. And when I started doing baseball, the average game time was probably about 2 hours and 20 minutes. Now the average game time is 3 hours. What that basically means is it's 40 more minutes for my partner and me to fill. So that's something I hadn't really anticipated. Another thing about baseball that I didn't really expect was how tough the travel would become. You know, all these 5 a.m. arrivals after playing night games and, you know, trying to sleep the next day, the challenge of getting enough sleep, the challenge of having proper nutrition. You don't think about those sort of things, you know, when you're in college or even a few years out of college when I entered baseball.
Right down the hallway from Eric Nadell's broadcast booth is the voice of Globe Life Park and the executive vice president of Ballpark Entertainment and Productions, Chuck Morgan.
Well, my story's probably unique in the fact that I was an announcer at the Grand Ole Opry and did some work for the Nashville Sounds minor league team, which was affiliated with the Reds and the Yankees. And a gentleman there became part of the front office of the Texas Rangers, called me one day and said, "Hey, you want to give up that big-time hillbilly career to work in the big leagues?" So that next thing I know, I'm doing opening day 1983 for the Rangers.
So I'm sure this happens to you because it happens to me. What's your advice when people say, "Hey, Chuck, I want to work in baseball. What should I do?"
Well, I get that question a lot, and I say you got to pay your dues a little bit. I think sometimes it's best to work in the minor leagues, which is what I did. I worked 4 years as a PA guy in the minor leagues and did all those games and got all that experience. Probably the best thing is get ready to work long hours get some work in the minor leagues. But it's very rewarding, and it's a lot of fun to work for a baseball team. But they got to know it's a lot of hours.
What about some of the new challenges, say, that weren't there, or opportunities that weren't there when you were getting into baseball that are relevant now?
You know, I think there were probably more challenges back in that day, because at that time when I got into it, there were only 26 teams and there weren't that many jobs. And things have evolved over the years that now there's all kinds of opportunities, not only for men, but as women as well in baseball, because there's so many jobs and so many things to do in baseball. There's social media now. There's all the technology has changed so much, and baseball has become such a big business and a big time sport that I think there's more opportunities now than there were back then.
Outside of the press box and front office, there's jobs in the game of baseball that get you as close to the field without actually putting on a uniform. Director of the grounds crew, Dennis Klein, started his career at the old Arlington Stadium.
So how did you break into baseball?
It started as a summer job in high school at the old stadium here, and summer job in college. And when they started building this stadium, a full-time job opened. So I started working on the crew, helping build this stadium, and was the assistant here till like 99. And then when the Ryans started Round Rock, and that we started building the field there, I went to go work for the Ryan family, and we built Round Rock. We did Corpus Christi, and I was there for 5 seasons, and then the head job opened here, and they called me back to take over the head job. So it was kind of, full circle type deal, and it was great, working for the Ryans down there. And then I came here, and Nolan came here a year later, so that was pretty cool too. My old bosses kind of followed me back here, which was awesome.
What's your advice for kids or just people in general wanting to get into the game?
Don't come into this game thinking you're going to, come out of college thinking you're going to, break the bank, It's one of those games where, you start out, you don't make a ton of money, but, baseball, sports in general, is a small fraternity. You get to meet people, people. And once you establish a name for yourself and meet the right connections, you kind of work your way up that way. But, when your friend in college is coming out making, about 75, 80 grand a year, don't expect that in sports,
So you mentioned earlier Turf Academy or the internship?
The internship, yeah. My assistant runs a program, the sports turf managers from around the country. This year we have a kid from Penn State and a kid from Iowa State, I think. There's some good turf programs, guys getting into business, wanting to learn about sports fields. They can be a golf course superintendent, work at Parks and Rec, professional sports. There's a lot of areas that these kids can get into. So we'll bring in 2 kids a year.
Sounds like a good farm system.
Yeah, we've had some good. We've got some guys that are head guys in the minor leagues now that have funneled through here. We've had kids from everywhere. Michigan State, Purdue, Mississippi State, Auburn this year, Penn State, Iowa State. A lot of good kids, a lot of good programs around the country.
In our last episode of Dugout Dirt, we learned all about the guys who run the clubhouse. Richard Hoggy Price, the equipment and home clubhouse manager, shared some of his wisdom during the taping of that episode.
What advice would you give kids wanting to get into your profession?
Follow your dreams. Nothing is not possible. Everything is possible. I'm not going to say that it doesn't help to know people to help get through the door. I think that we could all sit here and say that, you know, that's true so much in the baseball industry because there's so few jobs that go around. But, you know, that all starts with you do a good job, the word of mouth and people, and just try to be genuine. And who knows what's in the cards and what's in the stars for people. But don't stop dreaming that you can't get that job. I mean, the ton of resumes that I get over the winter of people that want to just come here and they say they'll work for free just to get their foot in the door. It's very humbling to sit back and read those, and we try to answer every one of them to tell them that we don't have any openings. You know, but it really makes you sit back and you sometimes you want to gripe, but we don't have anything to gripe about. We've got the world by the tail. No matter what they throw at us, you know, we don't have any issues.
For all of our aspiring baseball players out there, we have you covered. But first, I feel obligated to present an interesting stat from Business Insider. Only 11.6% of college players and 0.6% of high school players go on to play professionally. Now, I'm not including that to discourage anyone because anything is possible. And if your dream is to play professional baseball, I encourage you to chase that dream. Adrian Beltre was just like you.
Adrian Beltre is a kid that always had a dream to become somebody and knew that they have to work hard for it, and knew always that when he was in about 10 to 12, he knew that he wanted to be a baseball player. And he did everything he could to become one, and so far, so good.
What did it take to reach the major league level and then have the amount of success that you've had?
To reach the major league, it takes a lot of work, a lot of dedication, and have idea of what you want to do in life, and knowing that everything that you're going to do going forward is not going to be easy.
What would you say, what does baseball mean to your life?
Baseball means to my life, you know, is a game that is a job, but is having fun at the same time and enjoying what you do. And for that reason, for me, it's been easy to put so much work into it and at the same time be proud of what I do.
For Prince Fielder, making it to the big leagues was a return home. He grew up in the clubhouse as his dad was a Major League Baseball player for the Detroit Tigers.
Well, baseball means to me, you know, it's just means a lot just because it's something I always dreamed about doing, you know, and it's a great job, you know. It's better than a lot of other jobs I could be doing. And, you know, I have two boys, so they love it. You know, my wife, you know, she's very supportive of me. And it's just, you know, it's a dream come true because, you know, I grew up just like my kids in the clubhouse, so it's all kind of full circle.
When you stepped on a major league field well before you reached the bigs, but what was it like when you finally made it to the big leagues?
Well, believe it or not, when I finally made it to the big leagues, it felt normal. It felt, I don't know, it just felt like it was something I was used to, you know. I'm not saying it's easy in the big leagues, but in the minor leagues it was just hard because I wasn't used to that. You know, I wasn't, you know, that was different. I grew up, you know, around big leagues and nice clubhouses and nice stadiums and airplanes, you know, buses and everything was a little different. So when I finally made it to the big leagues, it was just a good relief, kind of like, wow, all right, now, you know, it's time to go to work.
What does it take to reach the bigs?
Well, to reach the bigs, it definitely takes you to kind of not trying to get there so hard, believe it or not. So the more you try to get there, the longer it may feel that it's going to take. So you almost have to, like, kind of wherever you're at, you got to make that your big leagues at the time. So that way, you know, the real dream will come faster.
Any idea what you would be if you weren't a baseball player?
No idea. I didn't have there was no plan B in my plans. I was just, you know, I was really determined to be a baseball player. And, you know, thank God I was able to do it.
A lot of people think they're too old to break into the game of baseball, or sports for that matter, after they've established themselves in their first career out of college. That couldn't be further from the truth. One of the most successful men in all of Major League Baseball, Joe Januszewski, started his career in baseball following a successful career in a totally different industry.
This is my second career. I started out in the film business. I got a film degree from the University of Texas at Austin and worked in the business for many years. And then in my mid to late 20s, decided I wanted to do something different and had always been, you know, kind of your cliche, a sports fan, love sports, and baseball in particular I was very passionate about. And so I set about pursuing a career in sport, not knowing anybody in the business. So I went back to school, got a master's degree at my alma mater in sport management. And from there, just did the good old-fashioned letter writing campaign, probably penned 100 letters to, you know, directors or VPs of sales and marketing amongst the big four professional sports leagues, hockey, basketball, football, and of course baseball. This was right when the internet was just becoming ubiquitous but hadn't quite gotten there yet. So it was around, but not everybody had access to it. So I was doing the good old-fashioned letting my fingers do the walk and, you know, calling information in Los Angeles and just getting the main number to Dodger Stadium and talking to the receptionist and seeing if she could transfer me to somebody in marketing. I didn't have names. I didn't have bios. You know, now, you know, with the internet, in 5 seconds, you can find out, you know, everybody's story and down to, you know, what they like to eat for breakfast. That was not the case, nearly 20 years ago. So I had to, really dig and grind, as I like to say, to find inroads.
Eventually, Joe landed an internship here at the Texas Rangers. He built relationships and contacts that helped him land a job at the San Diego Padres, and then on to the Boston Red Sox.
My wife and I loaded up our car and moved across the country. We didn't have any kids at the time, and had never spent any time in Boston, and moved in and spent 8.5 wonderful years there. Had three kids there. Took on greater responsibility with the organization, from corporate sales to the enterprises or non-game events business to some of the marketing functions, authentication. Just growing my skills, growing my abilities as a salesperson, as a manager, and worked with some really talented, impressive people that I learned a lot from, and then. 4 years ago, this week in fact, I ended up coming back here to Texas to join the Rangers as Executive Vice President. The opportunity to join a new ownership group who had great designs on winning, on building a positive culture, both inside the front office and on the field and in the community, and really was committed to winning. And I liken it to joining Microsoft in 1981 versus in 2013. Very different companies, obviously, industry leader in what it does. But you think about the growth that it was undergoing, in the early stages of its build out. Well, that's how the Red Sox were when I joined in 2002. And we grew that business successfully, but it became much more mature, like a value stock, spitting off dividends, but not so much. You're not so much seeing, the actual equity double with your market cap, like a growth stock where you're just boom, it's doubling the market price, it's doubling the share price. Well, here at the Rangers, this is a growth experience. And 4 years in, we're still growing. We're still, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We want to improve. We want to be what my mentors call tier one. You want to be excellent in everything that you do.
Joe is big on giving back and helping others find their way in sports. He was given a chance to prove himself, so he tries to pay it forward.
I spend a fair amount of time each month visiting with young and not so young people looking to get into the industry. And two of the things that I harp on are attitude and work ethic. A lot of smart people in the world, a lot of people smarter than me in the world. Where I can hopefully set myself apart is with my attitude and my work ethic. And I look at attitude and work ethic, and they're both 100% controllable. Aptitude, intelligence, a lot of that is God-given, is innate. You can work up to it, but there might be a finite box around you as far as what your aptitude is. But there, I don't think there's a box around your attitude and your work ethic. And I share all the time with folks. Look, you might be the valedictorian of your high school. You might be top of your class at an Ivy League or a top state school or a small private, wherever you go to university or college. But if you don't impress you know, people who are in the position to make a decision on your career because you have an attitude of complacency, or there is some sense of entitlement. Hey, you know, what are you bringing from a character standpoint? Are you looking to lift others up around you? Or are you looking to point the finger and say, hey, look at me? It's the Jeff Basher. Are you pointing at your name on the, hey, look at me, this is what I'm doing? Or are you saying, this is all about us, this is about our team, this is about Texas? That's what I look for in folks. And you'd be surprised how quickly you can garner whether someone's a team player, whether they have a good attitude. Work ethic, obviously, you might need to get in there a little bit, and that's why we're big believers in internships, you know, kind of a testing ground for folks. And every person I've ever had who's been an intern, I've said, look, you come here, you work hard for us, you bring a good attitude, you bring your A game every day. You will get a job in sports. If I can't help you get one in this organization, I'll work my socks off for you to help you get one somewhere, because you deserve a chance. Because you put your time in, you show that you want it. And, you know, I think sports is a kind of a Tony industry to be. I want to be in sports. It's kind of like Hollywood. Few people know how much hard work goes into making a movie. Just like few people realize how much hard work goes in, especially behind the scenes, to putting together an 81 game season, to making a big physical play, a stadium like Globe Life Park, make it run day in and day out. It takes a lot of work from a lot of people working together. And if you show that you'll give it all to help be a part of a team, I will help you get a job in this business, because those folks are fewer and further between.
Yeah, so what new challenges do you see in this industry that maybe you didn't face?
Well, I definitely think the ubiquity of social media. That's something that really didn't exist. It's only really existed in the last few years. I'm going into my 17th season in Major League Baseball. So, you know, the first 10 years, 10 years ago, there wasn't Twitter. There was Facebook, but again, it wasn't ubiquitous like it is now, and it wasn't used as a medium to advertise. It was a way people would share pictures of their grandkids and so forth, but it's changed so much, and you have to navigate it carefully. You can't just throw things out there into the ether and assume that people aren't going to pay attention, or perhaps get the wrong impression based on some glib throwaway statement you might have made as an aside, but everybody's a reporter now.
And that is another episode of Dugout Dirt. If you're trying to break into the game of baseball, or sports for that matter, I hope you found this entertaining and informational, and hopefully you will be able to take something from this podcast and apply it to your job search. I'd like to thank Joe Jan, John Daniels, Eric Nadell, Chuck Morgan, Hoggy Price, Dennis Klein, Adrian Beltre, Prince Fielder, Becky Kimbrough, and my co-producer and editor, Byron Hardy, for making this podcast happen. And I'd like to thank you for listening, because without you, there's no us. For more original Texas Rangers content, please go to texasrangers.com/never ever quit. And you can subscribe to this podcast at texasrangers.com/podcast. Or on iTunes, search Texas Rangers Podcast. Until next time, my name is Jared Couch, and we'll talk to you later.